reading, continue our reading from the Epistle James, chapter 5. I invite you to listen for God's word to you. Are any among you suffering? Then they should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sin will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its heart. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is God's word to us this morning. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Early in my career, I learned a truth about what it means to be a pastor. That truth was that we are expected, at a drop of a hat, in any time, in any place, to offer a prayer. In that, in an odd way, if you think about it, we are kind of paid for our prayers. Kind of mercenary prayers, if you will. When people invite me into their home and to have dinner, you know what happens? In order to get fed, I have to say the prayer. I always wondered that if I didn't say the prayer, whether they would let me eat or not. Now, no matter where I might be, or no matter what situation I might be in, I have learned that I am expected to give the prayer. I am a professional prayer giver. As if I had some expertise, some special dispensation for praying. That my prayers, I think people think, is just a little bit more effective than your own. And I did discover this other truth, that the easiest way to quiet a room is to ask if anyone wanted to pray. They won't even look me in the eyes. They kind of awkwardly look off into the, and the silence can be rather deafening. So this so-called expert on prayer has to offer one in order for us to go home or go on with the order of business. Now, I once shared this insight with some members of a congregation I served outside Tulsa, a town called Owosso. I shared that insight, and then that Thanksgiving I happened to be in Dallas, having Thanksgiving dinner with my family when my cell phone went off. And one of the church members called me and said, well, we're all standing around our turkey dinner, and we want you to give the prayer over the speakerphone. I prayed for 10 minutes to get him back. Now, it's interesting to me in the advice that James gives the congregations he serves. The central part of what we read this morning was the importance of prayer. Are any of you suffering, he asks? Well, then you pray. Are any of you sick? Well, then Ask an elder to come and pray over you. Pray for one another, James tells those disciples, so that you might be healed. I think James understood prayer to be central to the lives of disciples. But especially prayer should be central to our life as a congregation. That one of the best, one of the most important things we can do for each other is pray for each other. Because I think James understood that healing and wholeness can be found in the very act of praying, something beyond words. Now, if you think about it, it's one of the most basic things about being human, this idea that we pray. Human beings prayed when they walked out of the tundra in Africa. They prayed thousands of years ago. A prayer was said on the moon when we landed there. It is our instinct, our nature to pray. And while this fundamental part of what it means to be human is to pray, it may seem as magical and mystical as the cosmos we live in, prayer, in many ways, I don't know that I can really define it, much less describe it. Does prayer change the world? Does it bring rain and drought? Does it heal those who are suffering? Or is prayer simply words thrown out in the darkness of the universe? What is this prayer that we human beings engage in that James finds so essential to being the church? Now, one of my favorite images of prayer is illuminated by Teve in the movie and the play Fiddler on the Roof. Have any of you ever seen that? What I love about that is for Teve, prayer is a continual conversation with God. Almost a daily and casual familiarity with who God is. He tells God things. He asks God questions. He rants and raves to God. He pleads and he thanks. It's a continual dialogue with God, no matter where he is and what he is doing. Now, Teve doesn't worry about finding the right words or having the right ritual to engage in. He honestly wants to talk to God about his life and the life of his community. Prayer for him is a life rooted in the common and everyday struggles of being alive. Prayer for him is a struggle to make sense of a changing world and make it real. Now, what struck me about the passage we read this morning, a particular part of it struck me. And I think in part because for James, it's not the specific words you say that are important or necessarily the content of the prayer, but that it is the very act of praying that's important. For in praying, I think for James, we open ourselves to something. We make ourselves vulnerable, if you will, in a way different from anything else. Because in part I was struck by the line in our text this morning where James tells the followers of Jesus, he says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you might be healed." And I was struck by that because I had never connected those two things together, confession of sin and prayer. I'm struck by that connection James is making. I never thought of it that way and wondered why he connected those two. And what occurred to me is that in the act of confession, as in the act of prayer, they at their heart have a sense of vulnerability about them. We open ourselves to each other when we confess our brokenness. And we open ourselves to each other when we pray for each other. I think, again, for James, it's not the content, but the very act of praying that is important. To pray is to be vulnerable to other human beings. To pray is to know we are vulnerable to each other. Maybe that's why we find it so hard to really say a prayer. Because at that point, it makes us vulnerable. Because to pray is one of the most honest and vulnerable things we can do as a human being. Now, I have found this to be true. When I go to visit people, the sick or the dying, when I see someone who is homebound or in the hospital, and invariably we'll have conversation about what's going on and about life and maybe about the blown call by the refs for the Packer game or some kind of conversation that we'll have. And maybe it'll get a little bit deeper as people struggle with questions that they're wrestling with. But what I find almost invariably is that when we pause to have a prayer, something different happens. Invariably, and I don't know that I can really describe it. It's not words I can use or any rote formula of prayer I might do, but the very honesty of praying together, of confessing our vulnerability, our need for God or another human being to hear our pain and our joy, to hear our yearning and our need. It is my experience that in that moment, we are tied together in a significantly different way. That in that moment of vulnerability, we are embraced by God's grace. This morning, as scary as it sounds, we will be praying together. And we will do this as a congregation. And everyone or anyone is invited to come forward if they so desire. And Clara and myself and a ruling elder will be up here in confidentiality to hear your prayer. And we will pray with you. And even as that's happening, each of you will be praying in your seats, offering prayers. And I believe that in that very simple thing, people can experience healing and wholeness. Not because certain words are said, or because we have a special conduit to God, but the very act of praying together. Not that it will fully take away any suffering or pain or anxiety or worries, but there is truth to prayer. The realization that is very healing and makes us whole, the realization that we are not alone. To God be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.